you.
Streaming in this realm and beyond, you're listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio with your hosts, Peter Leonard, Rich Nifton, and Dr. David DeProspero.
My goodness, it's been 2 weeks already. For those of you switching over from Live Paranormal, this is BBS Radio. I'm Peter Leonard.
I'm Mark Berry.
I'm Steve Roscoe.
And I am Dr. Dave DeProspero. We'd like to welcome everybody to the show tonight.
Thank you, Dr. David, for being at the con tonight, because now we'll actually have music and sound effects
way. It's good to be here.
With Pete and his humming. We're good.
We have Mark on technology over here. He found the right holes for us, so we're really off to a good...
For the audio cables.
I think I've got that locked up. Well, if you need a hole filled, I guess we could... audio holes.
Might you have the call-in number, good sir?
I do. Let's get to it right now.
If you have questions, news, requests, new technology you would like us to review, team updates, event updates, or if you would like to be a guest on our show, email us at submit@paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. Phone lines now open. In North America, call toll free 1-888-429-5471. International callers, please dial area code 530-763-1594.
Just to test the theory out tonight, if anybody wants to go ESP with me, please send me your thoughts and maybe we can air them on tonight's show. I think we should let Dr. Dave take over tonight as the host, because we rarely see him.
Oh, geez.
It's so good to see you here.
It's been a busy couple months with work, and then work after work, and family, and all sorts of stuff.
When he says work, he's unfortunately not referring to building our teleporter or time machine.
No, it's my actual day job, and then my evening job, and then my overnight job, and the morning job, you know.
But he is working on the Tesla sound sled, so...
What the heck is a Tesla sound sled? It sounds great. I'd like to try it.
It can vaporize rock.
Rock, paper, scissor?
Really?
Lizard Spock.
There you go.
Wow.
All of a sudden, the audio's been external, and we're all deaf here in the studio / kitchen.
Holy cow, what the heck happened there?
I don't know.
Pete touched it.
Did I touch something?
I think Pete broke something.
I think it was Pete.
Yeah, I think so too.
And Steve actually got his certificate this week, so now he's known as Dr. Steve Switzerland.
Absolutely.
His honorary doctorate.
I am the doctor of neutrality.
That's good. We like that.
He just uses that to pick women up, ladies. Don't let him fool you.
That works.
You know, it kind of does.
So, you know, it's been a while since I've been here on the show, and...
It's degraded tremendously.
That's all right.
Well, welcome home.
Part of the fun. Thank you. Thank you. So the purpose of the show, for anybody new and listening, Paranormal Investigator Radio is your one-stop source for everything paranormal related, whether you're an investigator or a fan of the paranormal or, you know, somebody who's been living with experiences and not quite sure what's going on or what to do about it, we're here to help. So we'd love you to check us out on paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. That links you right over to our BBS radio account, and you could call in, you could Skype us, you could send us emails, you could chat with us.
Don't forget the ESP.
ESP.
You can stare at Big Sexy Steve Roscoe and...
Wait a minute, I'm getting an ESP from Rich, who's not here tonight. He's saying Pigman.
Pigman. Where is Rich tonight?
He's in Beantown.
Beantown?
Boston.
Boston. Boston Harbor. Anybody listening from Boston have any paranormal experiences? Please call us.
We're not talking about Rich either.
Yeah, Rich has a paranormal experience, but that's okay. We like him anyway.
Or if you're from anywhere else within the 50 states of the United States... Give us a call.
Can you tell we really want you to call in? We don't have much on the big board tonight, other than...
As we all linger
That was in a movie. Wait a minute, I better stop that before we get in trouble.
We're all staring at Pete with anticipation here on what he's got to come up with.
Well, we were waiting for Mark to finish writing whatever it was he was writing on a piece of paper, and then he showed it to me, and it says clown. So I guess we're going to talk about the paranormal behavior of clowns.
Oh, all right.
It's actually a real... there's a lot of people I know that are afraid of clowns, and I don't know if it's because they're in haunted houses, not like people houses, like paid haunted houses.
You really went with the clown theme. I thought you were just talking about clowns. You're going with this.
I have no idea. I'm just winging it here with the clowns.
Let's talk about clowns. All right.
They do look demonic in nature, some of them. They're very scary looking.
Some do.
There was that, if you recall, we went to that one in Sterling there. Was it Sterling? The haunted house?
Oh, the haunted, yes.
And the clown with the chainsaw was chasing Candy through half of the forest.
Yeah, Candy was very scared of that. She didn't like that too much.
I thought it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. It's one of those things, ladies and gentlemen, it's like your girlfriend comes running by you, and it's like, was that her? And then you see her like 20 feet ahead of you running in a circle with the clown chasing her with the chainsaw.
Oh, good times.
One of our former team members had a serious, serious fear of clowns to the point I was actually with him one time in a shopping mall and he punched out one of those animatronic clowns.
Oh.
Like physically punched it in the face because it just like his head turned to him and it's like, eh, boom.
Yes. Okay.
Sorry, I just scared everybody out there.
This was also the member that lit his hand on fire with a flaming can of gasoline?
Perhaps.
Okay, yes, yes.
So there's been a lot in the paranormal news.
Have you guys seen the snow that cannot be melted?
No.
Yeah, we have it outside.
Central New York.
If you're in upstate New York, it is
welcome to our winter.
Impossible to... No. With all of the snowstorms that have been plaguing the Middle East and the... Not well, Middle East...
Eastern
Middle
Seacoast.
Midwest U.S. and... the southern areas that don't normally get snow, it seems that there's a theory going around that they're seeding the atmosphere with some kind of chemical which is causing the snow, and it makes the snow impossible to burn. It's an old bar trick, actually. If you ever want to get a drink out of somebody, tell them you can burn snow. You take a snowball and you hold a lighter to the end of it, and it will char the end and no dripping will occur because there'll be no melting according to your take on it.
Are you kidding?
It's completely natural. No, I can do it for you right outside. It's simply because as the snow melts and the direct flames on it...
It refreezes?
It actually absorbs itself, the water, because it's about, what, 80% air?
Oh.
So it technically has a sponge effect and begins to reabsorb that water. It'll eventually become slush.
Okay, so we're talking about a parlor trick here now.
It is. It's a bar trick.
Okay,
it's a way to get a free drink.
Okay.
But it has hundreds of thousands of people convinced to the point where it's become a YouTube sensation that my snow doesn't melt. And people are scared to death of this. They're thinking it's not going to melt when time comes for it to melt in the spring, and it's going to cause all kinds of major issues, or it's not safe to, you know, go out and eat the snow. As long as it's not yellow, you should be fine.
But, so, clowns and bar tricks, all right? We're good. We're good so far. That's good.
So, and I'm getting sick of this polar vortex crap. It's called winter. For those of you who live in upstate New York, winter starts in September and ends in August.
Yep.
I mean, it's just something you have to live with. What they used to say, we have three seasons, winter, July, and fall.
Yep. Polar vortex.
We're the polar vortex. Well, maybe we should try melting snow out there and show people.
Maybe.
Look at what we can do.
I'll do it on the way out. We can record it, post it on YouTube.
But Mark did mention something that is one of the conspiracy theories, is the chemtrailing that goes on, the planes that have been spraying crap into the atmosphere.
Yep.
It is interesting living near an Air Force base that you can see this happen readily. The planes will take off, it'll rain the next day.
And being near the base we work at, which is no longer an active Air Force base, we see chemtrailing on almost a daily basis. Excuse me there, I had a little...
he assaulted the mic.
Regurgitationist. So we're done with the clowns?
Yeah, I think we're done with clowns.
I think so, too.
Probably best to be done with the clowns.
If anybody's interested in sending us a message, we do have a Facebook page, Paranormal Investigator Radio, or you could find us on Facebook at Rome Investigators of the Paranormal.com.
Thanks, Pete. You blew out the mic on
okay.
us.
Sorry, man.
Goodness.
There's the intentional one that really did it.
I'm sorry.
I vote right now Pete doesn't touch any of the electronics.
Seriously,
again.
Yeah.
That might have to actually go to vote next meeting.
I think so.
So can I ask the good doctor a question?
Which one, Dr. Roscoe?
Oh, Dr.
Oh, that's right. We got two doctors.
Dr. De Prospero.
A few weeks ago, I brought up a very controversial subject. Apparently my mic is dead. Hello.
Okay.
So he brought up a very controversial subject a few weeks ago. Someone posed this theory to me. It's called the vagina theory.
Oh, good God. What? I apologize to everybody listening to this.
Our audience already knows this.
Good God.
We got them conditioned for this one.
Okay, I've been away for a while.
What you may not know is that the good doctor here moonlights as a gynecologist. just the expert we're looking for.
Okay, go ahead.
Basically, the theory is that during near-death experiences, a lot of people have that vision of a light at the end of the tunnel.
Put your hands down to the table.
I got excited with the mic. Let me get right up there.
Okay, so near-death experiences.
So you're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel.
You're going to go to rebirth.
What if you're rushing through the tunnel and as soon as you come out, you're coming out of the vagina into the next life, being reborn right there?
Stop blowing out the mic.
Oh, goodness. I don't quite know how to answer that. Bear with us, ladies and gentlemen, just for a minute while...
Every mic he has touched this evening has died on us.
All of our mics are dying. Hold on one second.
No, it's not all of our mics. It's only whatever one Pete touches.
I'm dead.
Okay, so the...
Then you're the perfect guest.
The question posed was spiritual rebirth and the light at the end of the tunnel.
The vagina theory.
Right, so spiritual rebirth and the light at the end of the tunnel.
We just wanted it.
I really have nothing.
He posed that a few weeks ago, and we all kind of looked and like thinking, "Wow, really?
What the heck are we talking about?"
No, actually, it had me thinking there for a minute. I'm thinking, "Well, that's kind of strange," but if you think about it,
we're on the cutting edge of.
If you think about it, it's quite quite interesting.
Hello?
So, I think everything just died out.
Okay, we're back.
Now it's back.
We're back.
Hello?
We're back.
I do apologize. It seems that anything Pete touches this evening is breaking. No more. Don't touch.
Okay.
Hello?
Don't.
I think we got too much stuff in one hole.
Where did you come up with that theory? Did you read that somewhere, or did you just think about it? I mean, that seems like something you would just think about.
Actually, one of our other team members, Vinny, told me that one.
Whoa, that makes complete sense now. All right.
Wait a minute.
I've gotten a lot of fan mail on that, so that might be the next book called The Vagina Theory.
Yeah.
You're safe as long as it's not a picture book.
We always tell everyone take pictures.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, okay. I could see where you're going with that.
And I'll pass over to Mark. Well, I'm not going to pass over, but I'll let Mark take over with a real paranormal topic.
Now. Go ahead, Mark.
One of our other members sent us a link here about giant pyramids and sphinxes found in the Bermuda Triangles.
Underwater
in the Bermuda Triangle. Yeah. I got to thank my wife for this one. She's the one who sent us the link.
Who would have thought? Sphinxes and vaginas in one show.
That's sphincter. Okay, anyway, go ahead.
See, I'm not the doctor.
Go ahead.
You're the one who went dirty with it. I don't know what happened there. Apparently, a couple of scientists were working off the coast of Cuba using a robot submersible, and they confirmed what appears to be a gigantic city exists at the bottom of the ocean. There's thoughts that this could be hints to the existence of Atlantis or the possibility of some other forces being used to construct these pyramids and sphinxes beneath the surface of the ocean, seeing as it'd be very difficult to send your slaves underground, underwater there to build that.
Now, is that, I didn't get a chance to read that, but is that in any close proximity to the Bimini Road?
That's the word. I'm sitting here thinking, what the heck is the name of that road? The Bikini Road, the Bermuda Road, the Bimini Road.
This is just degenerating rapidly at this point.
The Bimini Road does lead up to...
the polar vortex.
No, it leads up to a location that had been previously studied by underwater submersibles that showed actual footings and like foundations of where buildings and homes used to be.
It actually says that these pyramids and sphinxes found underwater there are larger than what's found in Egypt.
Wow.
Well, it'd be easier to move stone underwater.
Technically, I guess you could be right. Yes. But how do you get air? Never mind. We cut your mic completely off.
Hello. Well, didn't almost said Alexander Graham Bell? That's the wrong one. Yeah. Alexander the Great had the diving bell that they were going underwater with. I don't know how deep you can actually go with something like that. 33 feet is crush depth, if I'm not mistaken.
It is being viewed as the discovery of part of Atlantis, interestingly enough.
Now, the goal would be to find an entryway into the pyramids. Wow, that's a great picture.
Yeah, it is.
To see if there's any internal structure.
With the quality of that picture and the color of the water, my guess is that can't be more than... That looks microscopic.
That doesn't look like a photograph. That looks more like some rendering. Kind of rendering based on three-dimensional scans, topological scans.
Yeah, it's far too clear to be a general photograph, I believe, but it is very possible that it's some kind of rendering using scans or sonar or something along those lines.
What's his name, Dr. Huys? They should send Dr. I can't
Dr.
pronounce
who?
His. With the Egyptologist.
Oh, Dr.
I would love to see that reality show underwater.
You could send the Ancient Aliens guy that looks like an Oompa
Loompa. I can't think of his name. That was one of my favorite shows, the reality show he had there with the archaeologists and the pyramid.
The girl peed in the
pyramid. I was just going to say, his reaction, you peed in the Great Pyramid?
At least
you peed in the Great Pyramid.
At least these ones are underwater. No one would notice, right?
Dr. Zahi
Hawass.
Hawass.
Yep.
I mean, unless you have that pool chemical underwater here, I think you're safe.
It's like, wouldn't you wear a Depends or excuse me, some type of undergarment at that point?
You know you're going to be underground for 10, 12 hours.
It only takes 7 hours to get into the chamber, and you're not going to have to go at any point? You know, bring a coffee can or something?
We may want to contact them for official sponsorship now, just so you know. I mean, perfect undergarment for the paranormal. Scaring the crap right out of you.
Oh, dear.
I wonder if she went home with any curse or paranormal activity after peeing in the Great Pyramid of...
The question I really have is, did she reach into the sarcophagus to wipe?
Oh,
that's terrible, Mark.
Bad Mark.
The wrappings are pretty well preserved, aren't they?
Well, you'd have to go through the sealed door. I don't even think they did that.
I mean, if anybody's if anybody's a fan of Downton Abbey, Highclere Castle... That's the legacy of the discovery of the Great Pyramids and King Tut's tomb. And Lord Carnarvon was actually the one who died as a result of the so-called curse. And, I don't know.
That was all bullpucky anyway. Didn't he die from some rare strain of some infection from shaving?
Sepsis. The funny thing is that like all of these... people who discovered these pyramids and have the curse. I mean, you look back and yes, they all died, but some of them died like 30 years later and 40 years later. And
that was sort of like one of our local legends, the chair on Carmichael Hill.
Yes.
My cousin sat in that chair and he died in a car accident 34 years later. I'm sure it was the curse of the chair.
Yes.
Must absolutely be linked.
Must be.
On that note, too, that just lends back to the fact that we always say never play around in cemeteries at night and any of that. There's no point because this chair was in a cemetery and the legend brought nothing but, I don't know, damage to that area and wasn't a very good thing.
Dear Lord, somebody was telling me about something that the worst thing that ever happened to him on a paranormal investigation was they were in a cemetery at night and they fell into a grave because it was a blowout.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, that's the number one reason why you don't walk through cemeteries at night.
You end up part of the cemetery.
Especially an older cemetery where they don't have the concrete vaulting.
Yep. What were you going to say, Steve? You were going to say something.
Speaking of curses, anybody here or anybody out there listening believe in curses?
I am one.
Well, tonight, yeah.
What kind of curses?
There it goes again.
What are we talking about?
Well, like we were talking about with the Dr. Carter supposedly getting a curse, and you opened up the tomb.
Oh, Dr. Carter.
Yeah, or any curse.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be there, I personally don't really think anybody can put a curse on you. I really don't.
It goes back to that old argument. Look at what we're doing. We investigate the paranormal. We go to people's homes and we tell them, yes, we've found evidence that there's a ghost in your home, or, we can validate your paranormal activity. So I think by virtue of what we do, it's nearly impossible to listen to a person's story about UFOs or hauntings or cryptids or curses and say, baloney. That can't be real.
Speaking of can't be real, what's your view on divining, and specifically divining with your feces?
That's scatomancing, isn't it?
Scatomancy.
If we're going to start, this
is a real thing.
An interesting paranormal article that's out here about now is S.S. Singh, a scatomancer, predicts the future by analyzing fecal matter in a new documentary called Journey to Planet Sanity.
Ain't that some crap?
We have a great collection method if you're ever curious, anyway.
If there's anybody full of it, you should give me a contact.
Is this something like tea leaf reading?
Well, depends on what you ate the night before, I suppose.
Wonder what corn predicts. It always seems to be dominant when it comes out, but...
I want to say horrible, but I have no idea
where
it's
at. That is very bad.
There is an accompanying video which we will watch after this show.
There is a video.
Two minutes and 55 seconds. This will be watched.
I'm surprised there hasn't been a Bruce Campbell movie about that yet.
It's a lost art, according to Singh.
Good. Let it stay there.
Ned, I don't disagree. When you're done, please don't flush, he says.
Wow. Because that's his time. Yeah. He goes in there and he's like...
Some of the wisdom of Mr. Singh here is a log-shaped like cigar suggests leadership, strength, and length longevity.
Wait, did it say log?
The log-shaped like a cigar suggests leadership, strength, and length longevity.
As opposed to like a dog-shaped curl or...
How about an actual blowout? I call them buffet blowouts. It's just we might be actually scaring and making people vomit out there.
Understand though, this is very important.
It's scientific.
The stronger that the aroma is, the more accurate the prediction will be.
He definitely has to
See how bad this show has degraded in your ass.
I don't think it could get worse than this.
I almost want to meet this guy. I mean, you eat a bunch of Mexican and Taco Bell beforehand. And
we're going to get him as a guest. I will track him down and we'll get him as a guest.
I'm very genuinely curious about this now.
I'll send him a free sample ahead of time. Just to find out what my future is going to be. Magic 8-Ball, magic toilet bowl, same thing.
If you send that through the mail, I guarantee your future's not going to be very bright.
There's something now for our business cards. We could add scatomancists.
No.
Scatomizers.
Send us your samples.
Paranormal Investigator Radio, hosted by the Brown Investigators of the Paranormal. Visit us online at www.roaninvestigatorsoftheparanormal.com.
And we are back.
A UFO cult thinks science fiction movies are true stories about their past lives.
Say that again?
Wait. A UFO cult believes that the science fiction stories are, or science fiction movies are stories of their past lives.
Yeah, I don't think we're ever going to get past the Scatman answer
tonight.
No, not tonight.
I would very much like to, if it's okay with everybody else.
Yeah, let's move on.
Yeah, I would prefer that.
There's a question for our listeners. What's your take on scatomancy?
And would you like to participate in an example so we can film it for YouTube?
No.
Oh,
no.
No.
Nope. That's where we draw the scatomancing line, right there.
Yeah.
I've been reading a lot lately on Facebook, as you know. When you're friends with 14,000 different groups, everything is in the news feed all night.
Yep.
One thing I keep seeing are the pictures again. Do you see the face in the fire?
Oh.
Do you see the orb above Uncle So-and-so? Dear Lord.
That stuff goes in phases. Like, you don't see it for 5-6 months, and then suddenly everybody's posting alleged photos of faces in objects and stuff.
It spreads like wildfire too, and it's really nothing more than an optical illusion more often than not, or pareidolia, mm-hmm. which is when you're trying to make sense of a pattern that may or may not really be there. It's
basically
like seeing
optical matrixing.
Yes, optical mm-hmm. matrixing, or in the sense of just the natural optical illusions themselves and the way they play, or optical. There's another term for it. It's all right. I'll remember eventually. About 10 minutes after we're off the air, actually.
You know what I think it is? You know, there's so much hype going into the Halloween season.
Yes.
And then there's a natural decline over the holidays. And then as soon as springtime hits, you know, we start seeing a surge of phone calls, case requests, people posting photos.
I think the way it works is, you know, Halloween time starts coming around the fall. People start thinking that creepy, spooky kind of that mindset. And they decide they need their house investigated, whether
yep.
it be something that's there or just something that's being stirred up because their mind at that point
believes it is.
Yeah, I don't discourage anyone from calling any time of the year, of course, but it just seems to be that way. And our caseload lasts us through the new year, continues that spiral until spring, and then it picks right back up.
Well, actually, this is the busiest winter that we've ever had, and the caseload has just kept right up.
It has been
usually I would agree with, you know, after, you know, fall comes, we start dying off with the caseload, but no, we've been quite busy this winter.
Let me pose that question to you, Steve, then, and then Dave as well. Do you think that we've seen an increase in activity over the last couple of years? Or has it just been an increase in reportings?
I think, well, for me, you know, as everybody knows, I'm the case manager. I believe there's been an increase, at least around here there has been. What do you think, Dave?
I'm going to say there's been an increase in calls and requests for help, but I think the actual evidence collection that leads to any kind of validation of the claims has actually decreased a little bit.
Any particular reason for that?
Because Haunted Collector is no longer on the air.
I think a large part of it has to do with the paranormal pop culture. The TV shows, you know, there's a critical mass that eventually gets reached where people are just absolutely swamped with the amount of shows and, you know, you just get desensitized to it. So when something truly does happen, you know, people are less likely to report it, or they're more likely to just debunk it. But on the flip side of that, the people that do call in, you know, for whatever reason, they just don't pan out into evidence-producing investigations.
And I also think there's also been a marked decrease in the number of teams out there actually investigating the
right.
paranormal now that they know they can't get famous on the television box.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that, too, in the amount of material coming out.
That's very true. Absolutely true.
Well, We're having paranormal events take place right here in the studio.
It's called a certain prescription sleep aid.
None of us.
You might actually see something walking backwards down the stairs and crawling on the wall in a few minutes. The other night I woke up to it knocking on my neck like a door.
Oh, good God.
Oh,
and it's back. No. Everyone, this is Candy. Say hi, Candy.
Hi, Candy.
Hi, Candy.
Hi, everybody.
We need a stool sample, if you don't mind, for an experiment we're doing.
We have left that behind, no pun intended.
So when we redo the consultation forms next month, who in the team is going to ask for the stool sample from the client?
That'll be Steve.
No, that'll be Jen. yes. She can get the poop questions.
Oh dear.
I'm gonna leave that right in her capable hands.
Oh, that's wrong. On that note, if you'd like to call in and express your deep displeasure with the Rome Investigators of the Paranormal, I'm Peter Leonard, and I'd like to apologize to you and every member of your family for any inconvenience or insulting that may have occurred. Although that was not our intention. Our intention was to entertain. We've taken a trip down a road where we should not be traveling.
Oh,
and on behalf of myself, Rome Investigators of the Paranormal, we sincerely apologize and hope that we can move on from this event.
Okay. We're moving.
What are you putting in her hand?
Oh, goodness.
We're moving past this right now.
I think you're going to get a call from Jen.
I'm crying here.
Why wouldn't aliens want to come down here?
That's true.
Scatomancy.
And that's why.
The stronger the aroma, the better the vision.
Well, see, now my perverted mind, I'm thinking ectoplasm. Let's just, we got to have some kind. So what pair? Pigman.
Ah, God.
But no, we've actually, I will agree with Steve, this is the busiest I've ever seen us. It's like one or two cases a week coming in.
Yeah.
It's almost like, as they said in a certain famous movie, that big spongy cookie is getting big.
What?
Well, it's a trademarked cookie. I can't say its name on the air. And a very famous movie.
Getting big?
Oh, dear Lord. Talk about poop. They know what you're talking about. You give them a subtle reference to one of the greatest ghost movies of all time.
Big spongy cookie.
Big spongy cookie.
Anyway. Okay, I'm going to go get food for the cat, will you?
Holy cow.
On that note, if you'd like to call in, here's the number again for us. If you'd like to complain, all complaints can be sent directly to Steve.
Dr. Switzerland.
Oh, thank you so very much.
Phone lines now open. In North America, call toll free. 1-888-429-5471. International callers, please dial area code 530-763-1594.
If you are an investigator, enthusiast, or ethereal spirit, we are bringing you the information from this realm and beyond.
Paranormal Investigator Radio.
With your hosts, Peter Lyon, Rich Nikodem, and Dr. David DeGrasse.
And we're back.
Ish. Pete may have gone to give a sample. We're not too sure at this point.
Yeah, Pete's not here at the moment, but that's okay. Yeah. So, anybody want to call in? I mean, let's get this thing back on track. I'm just not going to come to any more of these radio shows. That's it. No, I'm kidding. We've in the past had some really good phone calls from people who are experiencing some, you know, unusual phenomena, and you know, if anybody out there does need some help and you know, is in need of having questions answered or whatnot, please feel free to call in. You could Skype us a question. You can send us a message on Facebook. You know, any means of communication possible, feel free to ask us. We're here to answer your questions, as well as to all be jointly entertained by Pete, who is back with a book entitled...
What Is Your Poo Telling You?
Good God,
by
here
Dr.
we go.
By Dr. Anish Seth. Speaking of the paranormal, don't you, any of you gentlemen get to catch the Lizzie Borden movie?
No.
She gave her mother 40 whacks and then gave her father 41. No? Nobody watched
that?
No. It was on a couple weeks ago. It was an interesting flick. I know that's one of the places we've always had on the list that we've wanted to visit. Man, that microphone's just invading your privacy, isn't it?
Four people's a little tight around the table. I apologize.
It is tight.
So nobody saw Lizzie Borden. There was another paranormal movie, wasn't there? Oh, we have a toll-free call-in number. 1-888-429-5471. What is your poo telling you?
No. Let's repeat that call-in line one more time.
1-888-429-5471 on BBS Radio, the greatest station.
Let's get some callers going over here, please. Call in so we don't have to listen to what our poo is telling us.
Because the first one that starts out is deja poo.
Well, you know, I'd like to just say something real quick here. You know, here at Rome Investigators of the Paranormal, we like to goof around sometimes, and we like to have a good time. But we also take things very seriously. And,
Unfortunately, this is just one of those times where we're just being silly.
We're just absolutely.
It's been a long day at work for everybody.
So, did you guys get a chance to look at that email I sent you about the Joe's box? I never heard of a Joe's box until Saturday.
Let's talk about the Joe's box. Mark, go ahead.
Before we talk about the Joe's box, let's talk about the Frank's box real quick. The device designed to scan through radio stations effectively on an AM or FM frequency, and it's about 4 to 6 stations a second, under the idea that under one of those frequencies, something could be attempting to speak to us. So it's a very open-ended, randomized scan through. It's not meant to stop on any station, just over those frequencies pick something up.
It's basically nonstop static with an occasional...
For the most part. We have caught some very interesting things through it. I don't necessarily give any credit to the device per se, but there are some things we've gotten through it that we still cannot explain. The Joe's box, I think it was, however, this device, it from what I read about it, and please, if someone knows better than me on this, correct me if I'm wrong and call in, let us know. It's designed to actually seek out those stations and stop on them and put a word or two through and then continue to the next. To me, I think it sounds more like a device created to give you false positives. I mean, sure, the weather is interesting, but when it stops in the station and you get words like cloudy or otherwise, and suddenly it matches the question you asked, it seems to be defeating its own purpose. What do you guys think?
The easiest way to think of the difference between a Frank's box and a Joe's box is if you have a car stereo, if you hit the scan button, it's going to scan through every single number and not stop, regardless of whether there's a station broadcasting or not. It's just a way of scanning through all the stations. That's what a Frank's box does. A Joe's box, on the other hand, is like the seek feature on a car radio, where it finds the stations that have a strong broadcast signal, stops on it just momentarily, and then continues on seeking until it hits the next station. With the seek function, you don't get all the static from the stations that are not broadcasting. So in the paranormal world, with the Joe's box, you are not going to have the typical static that's found with the Frank's box. You're just going to get rapid little split-second fragments of speech from stations that are actually broadcasting.
Which, unfortunately, would allow you to easily create, mentally piece together any number of sentences, syllables, concepts, or words. And to me, that seems to just be defeating the purpose.
Well, you have to think about it in terms of audio matrixing, which is basically what the Frank's box does.
Right.
You got the static, you have the occasional snippet from a strongly broadcasting radio station, and the interplay between the static and the words is what to some people can actually form, you know, the paranormal message coming through. So the static helps to fill in the blanks, which, you know, helps to form into words and patterns. So without the static, I'm thinking that there's probably going to be a lot less actual valid result. Well, I use the term valid very loosely. Valid results. I don't know. We've just discovered this. The creator actually found us on Facebook and sent us the link to his website. So we don't have any experience with this device yet.
I don't know. I still see it as being too specific, in my opinion. Just you're expecting something to know what the next radio station holds.
Right.
And unless they have some form of paranormal broadcasting guide, they'll have no clue. So if you're not hitting every static-filled station in between, you're not giving an option for those frequencies to be used, which is the theory behind the idea behind the whole thing to begin with.
Right.
Using the term theory loosely, or more loosely than I should.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Switzerland and I are just sitting here looking at each other like we thought they were a Joe's box was a box of coffee or something.
We had no idea it was so high tech.
Which is also a very useful tool for the paranormal.
That's correct.
How about a Peter's box?
That one would shout out random and seemingly irrelevant clips and phrases.
Ooh, I want two. I'll stop moving that with my big head.
That would be great, Pete.
You know, you buy a microphone cord and it's 75 feet. You buy headphones, it's one.
Exactly.
1 foot, not 1 feet.
So apparently, another link we received from one of our members, Raven, it seems there's an 8-year-old that suffers from a strange condition that she weeps gravel-like stone from her eyes. They've seen doctors who said that they've detected nothing extraordinary, and the stones seem to appear during the day but do not cause any pain. However, as many as 100 can manifest in a 24-hour period. But unlike kidney stones, there seems to be no pain, of course.
Ugh, the kidney stone. I don't ever want them again.
I've had one of those.
I've had five.
Only one.
I'm not trying to outdo you.
It appears that some people are turning to the fact that it could be possession or black magic.
What the heck?
The doctors in the region, however, said they simply do not have the technology available to conduct a proper analysis of the stones. Could it be calcification of something?
Oh, okay, yeah. I'd like to jump in on this one. I'm not a medical doctor, but...
He just plays one on TV.
There's two sets of ducts in the human body. There's the eustachian tubes, which go from the ear to the nasal passages, which can form calcifications inside there, leading to inner ear disorders, dizziness, imbalance. And those calcifications are very similar to what people would have as kidney stones and whatnot. The other ducts are lacrimal ducts, which are the tear ducts, I guess you could call it. And those tear ducts also connect from the eye to the nasal passages. So it stands to reason that anywhere that a calcification could form, gravel-like excretions coming from the eye. We kind of all have that every morning, sand in the eye. But I don't know if, you know, she's spewing granite from her eyes or... you know what the deal is, but
this is amazing. It really is true that you learn something new every day. I used to pronounce it as extusion tubes.
As a note, he's not a medical doctor, but seems to be more briefed on this topic than any of us would have been.
It's pronounced eustachian.
Eustachian.
Okay, so that's why everybody looked at me funny one time when I said extusion tubes. And I thought they were located in the lower portion of your body, too, but thank you for clarifying that.
Yep, that's okay.
That is where my mind went right off the bat when you said things materializing outside of her body is usually a sign of possession, like the people who throw up nails. I wouldn't mind someone throwing up gold coins on me, but
that would be nice. I had something that I was going to say, and I lost it.
Well, you're rubbing your eye. Is it a stone?
It could be. It could be.
Now, is that from the extrusion tube, or is that from your mammary gland? No. Sorry.
I wonder what I was going to say. It was relevant, too.
Saying I derailed the train.
Yeah, that's all right.
I've just been doing that all night. I'm sorry, guys.
This train's been derailed a long time ago. As a note, though, it does bring up a very good point. You can't automatically jump to a conclusion, especially not in this field. And you can't automatically dismiss anything specifically in this field either, because you never truly know until you've looked into it, researched, and eliminated those things as possibilities. But, I mean, the good doctor's explanation here seems to be very valid, more than likely the point, or the
well, it would be great if they could send some of that out for testing,
right,
and, you know, get some...
Without further medical testing, there's really no way to know for sure.
Right.
But as it stands, I mean, that seems to be the most plausible explanation, and I would love to get either access to that data or otherwise find out what I can based on that as well.
Gravel from the eyes.
So now that we have two doctors on the team, will you be writing prescriptions for marijuana?
No.
No. Well, no.
No.
I'm just trying to increase our membership here on the West Coast.
Yeah, that's all right.
Are we allowed to shout out to like a specific television show?
I guess.
Like a TV show? Supernatural? Can I tell you, for weeks I've been reading this book called The Nazi Occult War, and wasn't this stuff in an episode of Supernatural?
Was it really?
The Thule Society?
I think so.
It's
the Golam.
It's a very popular concept, but for the show itself, they do seem to stick very closely to legends and lore and all that information, so it doesn't really surprise me that was in that.
I am going to stay away from the naughty Nazis. We're not going down that track ever again, but...
That was a couple episodes ago, I believe.
Very interesting.
Heavily
read,
missed
though.
That.
As a World War II historian, although I'm not really a World War II historian, but as somebody who likes military history, I can't believe actually how ingrained the Nazis actually were in the paranormal. It's kind of frightening.
Oh, yeah, with their mind control experiments and all that stuff.
Yeah, they said that Hitler was the master of mesmerization, that he could mesmerize anybody, and that's how he was able to control people. Well,
look
like
what
that.
Happened to Germany.
What happened to him?
Oh, no.
Once again, I apologize.
There's a very large amount of occult and paranormal background when it comes to World War II.
And the Vril Society, that was also mentioned in that episode of Supernatural. I've been impressed, actually, watching that. The amount of research the writers put into each episode, it seems, with the paranormal stuff that they know.
Sans the rock salt shotguns, I think we're okay.
No,
but even
no
that's
way.
Backed by some kind of belief or theory. Not necessarily rock salt in a shotgun, but salt warding.
And he's pulling out a Big Bang Theory bookmark. That's beautiful. I like that. I would like to give a big shout out to the Big Bang Theory.
Just because you're a doctor?
Because I love the Big Bang Theory.
Because you're a doctor.
In Search of Atlantis. Oh, look at that.
We found it. We talked about that earlier.
I know. I still got poo on my mind.
The Bikini Road?
Something like that.
Behemoth. Abomination
Bimini
Road.
Bimini Road.
Bimini Road.
I'd rather go down the Bikini Road myself.
Yep. We did go down that road.
But has anybody, any of the major TV shows ever hit up the Bermuda Triangle, like Fact or Faked or any of them?
What's his name?
Josh Gates.
Thank you. Josh Gates did a whole episode on the Bermuda Triangle and specifically the Bimini Road. And I believe the airplane that he was in was lost for like 25 minutes, running low on fuel, and they couldn't get a reading, and there was like some massive fog. The whole thing was engulfed in fog, and they just barely made it out and able to land.
And they came out in 1939.
No,
New York
they were
City
like
with dinosaurs
70
walking
miles
around.
Off course, going the opposite direction. I don't know.
I wonder
weird
what's
stuff
going
happened
on there.
I don't know. I don't know.
We're going to have to send a team out there. Hopefully, they report back to us. I ain't going out there.
I'm
going to
pass on that one.
It'd be a nice change of scenery.
Imagine if they drained the ocean, what they'd find there.
I'll tell you, though, when I was down in the Florida Keys, I spent a few years down in that region of Florida. The Bermuda Triangle was a big part of the culture down there. So, you know, it is something that's followed, and people are aware of it. In fact, I believe part of the Florida Keys, or just off the coast of the Florida Keys, is where part of the Bermuda Triangle starts.
I think so.
Are we allowed to talk about conspiracy theories or anything? Now that I've already set the stage.
Listen, if we're going to talk about poop, I think we could talk about conspiracy theories.
Oh, absolutely.
I think we're safe.
I just found out that they stole the Narragansett Stone. Have you heard of the Narragansett Stone in Massachusetts?
We're all here looking at each other wondering.
Yeah.
It's one of the few known Knight Templar marking stones that were left in America before Columbus, quote-unquote, allegedly found America.
Oh.
How do you steal a boulder in the middle of an ocean?
Was it Plymouth Rock?
No, it's near there, though, I believe. It's in Narragansett, the harbor.
As long as they didn't steal Plymouth Rock.
And it was famous because it was one of three locations that had the hooked X on it. And the hooked X was a former language that was very rare that they used back, I believe it was like the 1100s. And there's a similar one, I believe it's in Minnesota. It's the one that they're disputing now. Minnesota or North Dakota, another ruin stone, with ruin being the writing on there. Something that the Knight Templars were known to use were what they called a hooked X or an X with like a little dot on it.
Oh, that's actually rather interesting.
And that's all I kept thinking. How do you steal a stone? I believe the FBI was actually investigating that and everything because it's been there for centuries.
When was this?
August, I believe.
Oh, this year?
Yes.
Oh, recent.
Well, last year, technically.
Well, last year.
Yeah. So,
unless you've invented the time machine.
Not yet. It's just a stone that's gone.
Yes. Apparently they set up these marker stones and... And then while reading that, there was another stone. I can't think of what it was. It's something biblical. I'm laughing because they're looking at me and saying, uh-huh. Jacob.
John Jacob Jingleheimer.
Jacob's ladder. They have the stone someplace in America where he was actually laying on while he had the dream of, it was transported here from wherever. I got to start printing fact sheets so I don't get looked at I have mold growing out of my eyes.
I don't know that I've ever heard that. Jacob's ladder?
Yeah.
We're not talking about the electronic Jacob's ladder here.
No, isn't there someone who like saw a staircase up to the heavens and then he was told close the door, you're letting the hot air out or something like that? The priceless look on Dr. Switzerland's face right now. Pete, do you want some beanstalk beans?
I don't really know what to say about that, Pete. Close the door. You're letting all the hot air out. What's your take on that, Dave?
Well, we're in the middle of a polar vortex. I'm sure it's cold up there, too.
I've gone through the Bible a few times, and I don't ever remember an allusion to
hot air in heaven.
Letting the hot air out if the door isn't closed.
Yeah.
Technically gates, wouldn't that kind of defeat the purpose again? It's like screen doors.
The hot air would leave anyway. Huh.
I thought the hot air came from another direction, but...
Right.
It's all good.
And I think Pete's looking it up right now.
The Stone of Scone.
We have a couple bakeries around the area, and their scones are hard as stone.
That is true.
Yeah, I've had them at work.
Jacob and his stone.
So, anybody in the meantime, while Pete's looking up Jacob's ladder and the heavenly hot air, if you want to call in or, you know, feel free. We're coming down to the last 5 minutes of the show, and I do apologize about that. Oh, here's...
The Stone of Destiny.
Here's the picture. Jacob's pillar stone.
We don't want no more of your stony baloney. No.
The Stone of Scone. Okay, all right. Well, this is a lot.
See, I was thinking
right
muffin
now, but...
when I heard scone. Oh my God, is that what I sound like?
Okay.
Yes, it
paranormal.
Is.
Paranormal. Holy. Where does that voice come from?
Partially
the extension tubes.
I see. You have to go back to the good doctor on the tube explanation there, I think.
See the stone that was in between the chair of the thing? That's someplace in the United States of these Americas. Steve is still just priceless there. Like,
just,
I can't
I'm
even comment.
I'm just like, taking all this wonderful information in.
Okay, don't let the cold air out. Does that make you feel better?
Okay.
Don't
that's
let
fine.
The cold
air. It's air conditioning. I got yelled at for that as a kid. So
you know what fine. It costs to air condition heaven?
It's a lot.
Nothing.
We're still paying taxes on it. So.
Nothing.
I know what my punishment's going to be now for the next 100 million years. I'm going to be up
mackerel.
There blowing a blade in. Hot, is it? Huh? Cool me, boy.
Oh,
okay, we've taken not even a right turn. This is like...
this is off the cliff turn.
Oh.
When's the next radio show?
Next week.
Two weeks?
2 weeks?
No,
weeks.
Next week.
Next week?
Let me give a quick shout out, too. We've also expanded over to Live Paranormal and History.fm. We broadcast every Tuesday Paranormal Investigator Radio from 7 to 8. Every other week, it'll be also...
right here on BBS.
From 8 until 9.
BBS. So you could get 2 hours of paranormal investigation radio.
We apologize in advance.
Investigator.
Paranormal
radio.
Investigator radio. We're the Rome investigators of the paranormal.
Yes, I apologize. So we're both on Live Paranormal and BBS.
On time, 90% of the time.
We'll be setting up some cool features like video chat. Live chat rooms.
Oh, goodness.
We'll have our Twitter feed live normally as well, which is rip_live on Twitter.
You could find us at paranormalinvestigatorradio.com.
And if you need to mail a poo sample, it's Post Office Box 4751, Rome, New York, 13442. Mark the package... cookies.
I feel bad for the person that has that P.O. box.
It's mine. Goodness.
It's Pete's.
It's mine.
We'll be testing that theory, I believe. Do you want it pre-baked or?
No. All right. So we're getting the cue date. We got 30 seconds left.
On behalf of all
of us. It's been a good 50 minutes.
We thank you for listening and let's send you out.
Join us for this episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Be sure to visit us online at paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. Until next time, happy hunting and stay spooky.